Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week is Dr. Dhaval Patel, attending endocrine surgeon at JFK University Medical Center, a part of the Hackensack Medical Hospital Network. Good morning, doctor.
Hi, good morning, Joel.
Good morning. So we're focusing on something this week on thyroid, which is one of the many parts of the endocrine system that you deal with. But in preparation for this, I asked several people, non-doctors, non-nurses, what is a thyroid? Because when I thought to myself, can I actually describe it? And I really had trouble doing that. And most really weren't sure. They kind of touched their neck and they said, they just kind of knew where it was, but they didn't know exactly what it did. So I'm pretty sure you, doctor, might know the answer to the question, what is a thyroid and what does it do?
Yeah, Joel. So actually, thyroid comes from the Greek word thyros, which means shield. And so The thyroid is like a shield shape. And usually I tell my patients, nowadays I usually say it's like a butterfly. So it's in the shape of a butterfly. It's in the middle of your neck. And I think of it more like like a gas pedal and a brake for your body. It controls your engine. So if your thyroid is working too hard, your body's working too hard, and your metabolism's really bad. If your thyroid is working too little or braking, your thyroid is working slower and your body's working slower and you're not metabolizing things as much. So your thyroid really controls your metabolism is what it does.
Okay, and when something goes south with the thyroid, what is there to do?
Yeah, great question, Joel. So the things that we worry about is a thyroid that's overactive. That means it's working too hard, okay? Mm-hmm. Or we worry about a thyroid that's working too little, or sometimes the thyroid can develop cancer. And so those are the three kind of things we worry about. And depending on what disease is causing either of those three things, it tells us what we're going to do exactly in terms of medical or surgical management.
So if you have an overactive thyroid, there is some sort of disease causing that?
Yes, sir. So if you have an overactive thyroid, you can have something called Graves' disease, which is a disease where your body actually has, your body creates an immune response that doesn't attack the thyroid, but what it does is it overstimulates the thyroid. And so the symptoms you might get is the room is too hot for you. You might have diarrhea. You might have feel your heart racing. You may have really sweaty hands. And Graves' disease specifically causes you to have your eyes bulge out. So patients with Graves' disease have a very typical appearance. And so if you have Graves' disease, then we try to manage you either with medications, sometimes with surgery, and sometimes with radiation to slow your thyroid down.
Okay, so Graves' disease, if you have an overactive thyroid, it could be Graves' disease. What causes Graves' disease?
So Graves' disease is an immune response where, for whatever reason, your body is essentially not attacking your thyroid, but overstimulating it. You create antibodies. And I think of antibodies like missiles. So when you get an infection, you create antibodies. Those are missiles. They destroy whatever's, you know, causing you to have an infection and be sick. Sometimes your body makes those missiles and they attack yourself. Or in Graves' disease, those missiles actually turn on the thyroid. And so when they turn on the thyroid, you just have too much hormone.
Okay, so too many hormones. So an underactive thyroid, what are the symptoms or what causes that? Is there a Graves' disease attached to that or it's something totally different?
Great question, Joel. Yeah, totally different. When your thyroid is too slow, it's the exact opposite. You might feel sluggish. You'll feel tired. You don't feel like doing anything. You might have constipation. You have dry skin. The room will be too cold for you. Those are some of your typical symptoms. And instead of having missiles that overactivate your thyroid, now those antibodies or missiles are actually destroying your thyroid. And so you end up needing to be on medication, thyroid hormone medication, a replacement, so that you have enough.
So kind of is it kind of like maybe this isn't a good example, but like diabetes, where you need to keep your sugar at a certain level. With the thyroid, you take medication to keep that at a certain level. Don't want to get too high. Don't want to get too low.
Yep. No, that's a great example. It's exactly like diabetes, where you're trying to control your insulin levels. You're trying to control your sugar levels. All of those things are being controlled because you want to be right in the balance, and that's what you want. And an endocrinologist helps you get into that balance by checking your blood work.
Okay, so let's move on to there. If you have thyroid nodules, that's another thing that you can get. How common are the nodules, and what is done about that?
Yeah, so Joe, if you went to the mall and you did an ultrasound on someone's neck, or all the people in the mall, about 2/3 of people will have nodules. So lots of people are walking around with thyroid nodules. They're very common. Now, when we find thyroid nodules, we usually do an ultrasound, and usually you find them because you feel them, or you notice a bulge in your neck, or your doctor notices a bulge in your neck. And when they feel that bulge, they send you for an ultrasound. In the ultrasound, we look at the pictures, and they can kind of tell us whether you may have thyroid cancer, you definitely have thyroid cancer, or it looks like it's benign or not thyroid cancer. And once we do that ultrasound, and we determine that, we then will biopsy it to figure out if it is or isn't thyroid cancer.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Dhaval Patel, endocrine surgeon at JFK University Medical Center. I want to get into about whether you can remove or not remove the thyroid. But before we get into that, how does a patient get to you? When does it get to a point where they have certain symptoms? They might not know some of the symptoms that you mentioned. They might not know what it is. How do they end up getting to you that you wouldn't think, let me call an endocrinologist?
Right. So an endocrine surgeon usually works with an endocrinologist, also with the radiologist and pathologist. And so patients usually come to me after they've seen either their primary care or their endocrinologist. They've either discovered their thyroid is overactive, causing maybe Graves' disease, or they have a nodule and it's been biopsied, and the pathologist finds out that it's thyroid cancer, or they have a large goiter, and the goiter is causing you not to be able to swallow easily, not to be able to eat, or you're having trouble breathing when you lay flat or when you walk. Then they're referred to me, and then we decide what is the best option, whether it's medical treatment or surgical treatment or even radiation.
So it's something they would go to their primary doctor, and then they would be referred, and they would eventually get to you.
Yes, Joe.
So in talking about removing the thyroid, I'm pretty sure that is something that you do. When can it get to that point, and how do you live without a thyroid?
So that's an excellent question, Joel. And removing the thyroid, the surgery is very low risk, but the crime has to fit the bill, right? And so if you have a nodule and it's cancer, depending on the size is when we decide to remove it or not. So the Japanese and the Koreans, they did a lot of studies looking at people with small nodules that were cancer less than 1 centimeter or less than 1/2 inch. And when they looked at that, they noticed that you didn't actually need to remove the thyroid. Those people did fine. It didn't spread. And a lot of those people passed away or died from something else. So if it's less than 1 centimeter or 1/2 inch, you usually don't need to do anything about it. You just have to have follow-up and make sure it's not growing.
Right. I was going to say, you got to keep an eye on it, though, which you said.
Yep, exactly. You got to keep an eye on it. And so, if you're a person who's not very good at follow-up, we then do recommend surgery. But as long as you can keep an eye on it, we'll keep doing ultrasounds. About 7% of people end up having it grow, and then we remove it. Now, if it's a little bit larger, so if it's maybe 1/2 inch or about 1.5 inches, then we recommend to remove the cancer. We can either remove half your thyroid or your whole thyroid. Now, there's a lot of studies saying that, if you only remove half, you do fine. There's only one study that says you should remove the whole thyroid. So really, it depends on the patient's preference, because if we remove the whole thyroid, you will be on thyroid hormone medication for the rest of your life.
Okay.
If we remove half, then you may not need to be on the thyroid hormone medication. And then finally, if it's over 4 centimeters or over 2 inches, we recommend removing the whole thyroid because that we know patients will do better with that. Well, and then there's a lot of other factors that go into this, like your age, your access to care, you know, your values and how you feel about it. And so it's a really patient-to-doctor discussion and talk, and we come up with what's best for you.
In deciding on removing whole or half, is it a matter of where the nodules are, where the growths are, because you remove the half that has them? Is that how it works? Or
yeah, that's a great question, too, as well, Joel, because if that nodule is on the backside of your thyroid, sometimes we'll want to remove the whole thyroid or remove that half thyroid because it could grow into the nerve that gives you your voice. That's the main risk of this surgery is behind that butterfly or the thyroid, you have nerves, and they're like wires. And those nerves go to your voice box and give you your voice. So that's the main risk. So if you have a nodule that's near that nerve, sometimes we do recommend to remove the whole thyroid, regardless of what size it is.
Talking with Dr. Dhaval Patel, attending endocrine surgeon at JFK University Medical Center. So if we do remove the thyroid, and then we are on the thyroid hormone medication, what side effects can we expect from the medication? I want to know that, and then I want to know what other side effects there are when you don't have the thyroid.
Yeah, so the side effects of the medication depend on why we're removing the thyroid. So if we're removing it for a goiter, we're going to give you enough thyroid hormone medication as if you had your thyroid. So we're going to control that. And so there should be no side effects. Same thing with the Graves' disease and an overactive thyroid. Same thing, we're going to try to give you enough thyroid as if you had a normal thyroid. Thyroid cancer is slightly different. So when you have thyroid cancer, depending on your pathology and your lab work after surgery, we may give you extra thyroid. And we're giving you extra thyroid to try to stop any thyroid cells that were left over from growing, okay? Mm-hmm. Or any thyroid that had cancer that had spread from stop growing. And you can get side effects from that. You can get some weak bones or osteoporosis. And sometimes you can have your heart beat funny, like atrial fibrillation. Those are some of the side effects when we're giving you too much thyroid hormone medication because we're trying to stop any thyroid cancer from growing.
Okay, so again, it's a balance, right?
Yep, balance. Yeah.
Got to balance it out, get the right amount of stuff. Now, we are talking about surgery, so are there scars involved? Will it show that you were, you know, operated on someone? Is it the neck?
Yes. So it is in the neck, Joel. It is right, probably midway between your jaw down to your breastbone is where the thyroid
is. Oh, I thought it was up. I thought it was like right below the chin, like on the flat part below your chin and, you know.
Yeah, yep. No, below the chin is actually your submandibular gland. So it's, you know, it gives you the, when you eat, that's what you those glands make the fluid when you eat.
Okay.
The thyroid, yeah, it's halfway between. And to do surgery, you do have a scar. It is in the middle of your neck. Most of the time, thyroid actually affects women. So I'm very well aware that there's going to be a scar. And what I try to do with surgery is, one, I try to make it as small as possible. So I try to make it an inch to an inch and a half, which is not a large thyroid. It used to be, we used to make 4 inches back, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Now,
right.
You know, with advancements in technology and medicine and surgery, we can do it in an inch and a half to an inch, as long as it's not a large thyroid. And then I try to hide it in a crease. By hiding it in a crease, usually it can blend in with your skin. Now, there are things that that people can do after surgery to help with the scarring. And they can keep it out of the sunlight for a couple months so it isn't too dark.
Mm-hmm.
When you see me in the office, we talk about putting sunscreen on to make sure that the line doesn't darken. And then I'll show you how to massage your incision so that it flattens out and it looks nice. And we'll do that also for another 2 to 3 months. And so ultimately, within 6 months, hopefully the thyroid will look, or the scar will blend in with your skin within a crease. Now, I can't promise that because of where your thyroid sits or how large it is, but that is always my goal whenever I'm operating on someone in the neck.
Okay. All right. Before we switch gears, I just want to, I kind of know the answer to this, but what did they do years and years ago before there was medication?
For thyroid hormone?
Yeah. So let's say they obviously couldn't remove the thyroid without the thyroid medication, right? 100 years ago, 200 years
ago.
It was just a death sentence?
100 years ago. Yeah, I think really they started removing thyroids actually when we had the medication.
Okay.
So before that, you know, most of the time you had a goiter and you just lived with it. And actually the thyroid gets a lot of blood supply. There's a lot of small arteries to it. So the surgery actually used to be very dangerous too. And then a surgeon named Theodore Coker, he was the one who kind of pioneered thyroid surgery, and he reduced the mortality down to 1% with his technique. And his technique is the one where people were doing it, and it was 4 inches, a large incision around on your neck. And now we've moved on from that 4 inches down to an inch and a half and an inch. But with the finding of the thyroid hormone medication is when really surgery for the thyroid took off.
Okay, we've come a long way. Come a long way.
Yes, we have, sir.
So let's talk about, you brought up goiters a few times. Is this the same as a nodule? When I hear the word goiter, I think of Seinfeld. Did you see that episode?
I did see that episode of Seinfeld with Gandhi, I think it was, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it was a woman who dated Gandhi.
I love Seinfeld. So it's a great show.
Yeah, it was a woman who dated Gandhi. Not that it matters,
right.
But they never showed the goiter. So they just made fun of it. And it doesn't seem like this is something that's funny. I guess you can make fun of anything, you know. I thought it was very entertaining. But all right, what exactly is a goiter then?
You know, a goiter is just a fancy way of saying a big thyroid. That's really all it means.
Okay. Okay.
So it's just a big goiter, and you know, we know the Rust Belt, like Michigan, Wisconsin, and the Rust Belt also used to be known as the goiter belt. And goiters form because you don't get enough iodine. Nowadays, all of our salt has iodine in it, so goiters have become a lot rarer. But usually in places that don't have enough iodine, you get goiters. The other thing that can cause goiters is cassava root if you're from South America. But generally in North America, it's from not having enough iodine.
And is that the treatment for it if someone develops a goiter? Iodine?
Well, no, if someone develops a goiter, you're kind of stuck with the goiter at that point.
Oh, okay.
And we only remove it if you have symptoms. So it's pushing on your windpipe, so you can't breathe very well.
Okay, these are the symptoms. Okay.
Right. Or if it's pushing on your esophagus or where your food goes down from your mouth to your stomach and you're having trouble swallowing. And then the third reason is not a great reason, but you just don't like how it looks. Yes, then we can also remove it to make your neck look more flatter. That's the third reason that we would do surgery for a goiter.
So I would imagine a lot of people would like to have it removed because of the look. And if I come into your office and I have a large goiter, and I guess everything else is, I don't have any other symptoms other than the enlargement, and I say, I got to get rid of this, what would you say to me or any patient who wants to do it for cosmetic reasons?
Yeah, I mean, it is a valid reason to take out your thyroid. So if you came in and you said, look, I'm not happy how it looks and it's a very large goiter, then I would offer you surgery as long as you understand that there are risks with surgery and that you will end up needing to be on thyroid hormone medication for the rest of your life. Now, if there's one other reason I forgot to mention, if you don't have any symptoms, but the goiter is going into your chest, that is another reason I would remove it, because we know that over time it will just keep growing into your chest, pushing on your heart, pushing all of those things. And so at that time, I would also offer you surgery to remove it.
And this growing goiter is, just to repeat what you said, the main reason is because a lack of iodine.
Yep, Joe.
And you have no way of knowing whether you're getting enough iodine or not unless you get a goiter?
Right, unless you measure it. But usually we don't measure it anymore because, you know, if you go to the grocery store, almost all salt has iodine.
Right,
salt.
Right.
And that's the reason why. It's because we're preventing you, just like fluoride in your toothpaste, same thing, iodine in your salt, and we can prevent a goiter from developing in the first place.
Oh, it's put in there intentionally just for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the first, because, you know, a goiter's grow, right? So when someone first comes, I would imagine sometimes people would come into your office, and we'll give out the number, by the way, and information in just a short while, how they can get in touch with you if they want to speak with you about their thyroid, about goiters, or what have you. But some would be very small. They might not even know it's a goiter, or some people just wait, and it's really large. So how often does someone come in, and they think it's just like a little cyst or something, and they find out? And can you prevent the growth of it?
Yeah, so usually, you know, patients have already gotten an ultrasound. So that's the first step. If you say, if you come to me to my office and say, doctor, I'm worried about my thyroid, I feel a bulge in my neck, the very first thing I do is get an ultrasound. And the ultrasound will help tell me whether it's some sort of cyst, something else growing in your neck versus the thyroid. After I do the ultrasound, I can then decide, you know, do we need to deal with the thyroid, or is this a separate issue and something else? And if it's something else, sometimes we biopsy it. If it's a nodule in your thyroid, we biopsy it sometimes. And if it's a large goiter, then we can have a discussion about whether you have symptoms or not, or whether you just don't like how it looks. And in addition to all of that, I usually get some lab work to make sure your thyroid is not overactive or underactive.
Which is where we began and which is where we can end. But I do have one more question for you. Yeah. Are there any, now, as an endocrinologist and endocrine surgeon, you deal with several systems and glands throughout the body. Mm-hmm. Are any of the other glands that you specialize in, can they have a similar effect as the thyroid?
Yeah. So the other glands that I actually take care of are the parathyroid, which para means next to. So they're next to the thyroid. Mm-hmm. And they're the size of a rice grain. And so they're behind your thyroid, behind the butterfly, four of them. And sometimes they can turn into a tumor. And the parathyroids, they control your calcium. So when you have too much parathyroid hormone, your calcium might be too high, and you'll get a range of symptoms. One of the main symptoms is weak bones. And so you might get fractures, you get kidney stones, you can get constipation, reflux, high blood pressure, memory issues, mood swings. Lots of different things can happen. They usually don't push on anything, but they do cause problems with your calcium. And then, you know, it's a discussion about whether to remove it or remove one or more of those glands. And then finally, or the other two glands that I work with is the adrenal gland, which are behind your back, above your kidneys. Okay. And they make hormones, the salt, sugar, sex hormones. As well as adrenaline, which, you know, if you see a tiger out in the street, you get an adrenaline rush. Those are your adrenal glands working. And sometimes they can become large and cause problems. And they can also turn into cancer. Very rare, one in a million. Or sometimes they make too much hormone. If they make too much hormone or it's cancer, I remove them. And then in the pancreas, you can get endocrine type tumors like Steve Jobs had. He had an insulinoma. So I deal with an insulinoma where he's making too much insulin. So diabetics may not have enough insulin. Steve Jobs had the exact opposite problem, too much insulin, and he had a tumor in his pancreas. Unfortunately, his tumor spread to his liver, and there wasn't much we could do. But he had it's called a pancreatic neuroendocrine tumor.
All right. Well, thank you, doctor. Before we let you go, how can someone get a hold of you? I actually have the information here. Get a hold of you. Should they have a question or they want to make an appointment?
Yeah, they're welcome to call me. My office number is 732-548-1000. And you're also welcome to email me. My email is dhaval.patel, P-A-T-E-L, at hmhn.org.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time. Dr. Dhaval Patel, attending endocrine surgeon at JFK University Medical Center, a part of the Hackensack Medical Hospital Network. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, and thank you, Joel, for having me on. It was a pleasure talking with you about the thyroid gland.
You as well.
Thanks.
There you have it. Again, for more information, you can call 732-548-1000. You can go to jfkmc.org, or you can email Dr. Patel at dhaval.patel. P-A-T-E-L at hmhn.org. And for a podcast of this broadcast, you can go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. See you next week.